Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. God's gracious peace and blessings be with you, his people, this day. Amen. Our order of worship is found on page 184, Divine Service Setting 3, God's service to you, his people, this day. Again, page 184. Once you get there, if you wouldn't mind, please standing as for our worship this morning. We remember our baptisms together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Having received the peace from above, we share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Good morning. Good morning. Peace be with you. 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 Hello.
Good morning. Peace be with you. Good morning. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
We continue with our psalm for this morning, Psalm 30. We'll read that together. Page to the front of the hymnal. Many of the psalms printed out there, and we'll speak Psalm 30 together. We read, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountains stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. We continue then on page 186 as we join in singing the Gloria Patri, the Kyrie, and the Gloria in Excelsis.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us.
And the Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit. And we pray.
O eternal Father in heaven, as the summer days grow long and hot, we are reminded of your cool, refreshing word as it rains down from on high and fills up our hearts and our minds with the goodness of your grace and your mercy. Grant us now the gift of your Holy Spirit that as we hear your word, we may feast upon the bounty that is you. Gracious Father, we pray all these things to be done according to your will. And in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We continue hearing more from God's word as we turn to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, we read verses 1 through 7. This is the calling of the prophet Ezekiel. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house." That ends our Old Testament lesson, our epistle lesson from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. We read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Paul writes, "I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And that ends our epistle lesson. We turn to page 190 of our hymnals, and we join to stand and sing the triple Alleluia in preparation for our gospel. Text from Mark chapter 6, we read verses 1 through 13. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. And that ends our gospel reading. We continue as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's printed on the back inside cover of your hymnals. We make bold together our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with verse 1 of hymn number 605, Father Welcomes. And we welcome the children forward for a message. Today. You're good. It is so good to see you this morning. It's a nice, bright, sunshiny day, and we praise God for it as well. And what's that? You get peaches today? Oh, give me five. And make sure to get me a peach, too. No, that's all right. Very good. Awesome. Well, I wanted to ask you guys, what is your most favorite holiday? What is your most favorite holiday? Don't say recess. That's not a holiday. Yes. You like Christmas. Very good. Then you need to come to the first day of VBS that we're going to be having, okay? You know why? Because we're going to be celebrating Christmas. It's the first holiday that we'll be celebrating. We're going to celebrate five holidays for Vacation Bible School this year. Starts July 22nd, goes through the 26th, and our first one is going to be Christmas. What happened on Christmas? Sina, do you remember what happened on Christmas? What do we celebrate? Don't say Santa Claus. What do we celebrate? We celebrate Christmas. Christmas means Christ Jesus. Mass means body. It means God came into the flesh, into a body. He was born as a little baby. That's right. And so we celebrate that on Christmas. What's another holiday? What would be your second favorite holiday? So if Christmas was your first one, what's your second one? Yeah? Halloween. Oh, we get to wear masks, don't we? And pretend to be somebody else. I hope that you guys always wear the mask of Jesus as you show Jesus to the world, right? We're not going to celebrate that one, but that it was on the docket, but it got sliced off. So, but what else? What other holidays are there? We just celebrated one here not too long ago, just this last week. What was it? The 4th of July, yes, Independence Day, as we were set free from Britain, we celebrate our freedom. But we also celebrate our freedom in Jesus, right? Who set us free to be his people and to live and to do things that are give glory to God and show love and service to our neighbors. So we're going to celebrate the 4th of July. That'll be on the fourth day of our VBS. Very good. What are some other holidays? What else is there? Let me get summer. Summer's a season, and that's when we're in right now. Let me give you a hint. It's a little guy that goes like this, and he hops around. Yes? Easter. Yes, the Easter Bunny. But it's not about the Easter Bunny. It's about what? What do we celebrate on Easter? When Jesus rose from the dead. That's very good indeed. And we're going to celebrate that on the third day of Vacation Bible School. There's a kind of a tricky one, and it's right in the middle of the cross that I've made for your t-shirts. It's going to be a special day. Let me give you a hint. Caden's got the color that we usually use for this holiday on his shirt there, and we usually have a bunch of these. What am I making? Yes? Valentine's Day, that's right. That's when we say we love each other, right? Well, when did God tell us that he loved us? Remember, God demonstrates his love for us when we were still sinners. Christ Jesus died on the... cross for us. That's right. Jesus died for us. So we're going to celebrate Valentine's Day, but also Good Friday, because that's when God showed his love for us. And then the last day that we're going to celebrate, day 5, we're going to have a big party. And you know what that day is called? This really isn't a holiday. High school students really like this, especially juniors and seniors. We get dressed up in fancy suits and fancy shoes, and we have a dance. It's called homecoming. Well, we're going to celebrate homecoming, not about having a dance, but about who's going to come back to take us with him.
The answer's behind you.
Just say it. Jesus, right? Jesus is going to come back and take us to be with him in his home forever. So those are the 5 days, the 5 holidays, holy days, if you will, that we're going to celebrate during Vacation Bible School this week, or upcoming weeks. And we're so glad and going to invite you guys. We also need you to invite friends as well to come, because we would be very glad to have them all together to talk about Jesus and to do some really awesome and fun things. So I just wanted to review those with you. Yes? Can you say Jesus? She's thinking about it. She's going to be able to say peaches after today, right? That's very good. No, that's very good, Charlotte. That's good. It is all about Jesus indeed. And so we give him glory and praise always. All right, very good, guys. Well, tell you what, if you want to grab yourself a snack, you can head back to your seats. Again, if you grab one of these cookies, why don't you wait to eat that till you're at home, okay? So if you take one of those, eat those at home. We'll sing our next hymn, hymn number 490. Thanks for coming up, guys. Here again, these words from our epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So far, text. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We've got dear friends with us here today, Mike and Misty Smith. Misty was the church secretary at my vicarage congregation in Steelville, Illinois, and they had gone out to Colorado, and they wanted to come by and hear not Vicar Wing, but Pastor Wing preach. And I thought, boy, that's a high measure, so I'm going to have to do extra good today. But we're very glad to have you here in our midst. But it reminded me of a story from Vicarage We had just had our service. I had happened to preach that day, but I also had to do the announcements at the end of the service. And I got to Bible class, and Augie Brown, he's with the Lord now, Augie Brown kind of, in front of everybody, said, Vicar Wing, your preaching was good. It was very good. But your announcements are terrible. He said, you say, way too many times. And I said, Augie, that's because I'm never confident about the announcements I'm making, but I'm always confident about Jesus. And that's what it is about. This hymn that we just sang, an Easter hymn, it reminds me of the phrase that you and I know so well. I know my part, you know yours. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Alleluia. May that always be our confidence, even in the midst of woe. St. Paul, in our text for this morning, talks about a grand and amazing experience. No, he didn't go to Disney World or Disneyland. He went to a place even better than that. He was taken up into heaven, and he beheld paradise. Now he says, I'm not going to tell you who this man was, but I know it happened, whether in body or spirit, I do not know. But he experienced eternity and eternal life, and he heard things that men may not utter. And he said that I could boast about such things. But then he goes on, and he says this: so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, you see, he gives it away right there. He was the one caught up into the third heaven. Now, that's not some special place, okay, in the sense of it's like, you know, an alien world or something like that. When we talk about third heaven, we're talking about the first heaven are the clouds above. The second heaven is space. The third heaven is the heaven you and I want to be in, eternal life with God, okay? It is not of this universe or of this realm. St. Paul says, in order for me not to boast about these things, something happened to me. You ever heard the term flying high in May and shot? No, it's flying high in April and shot down in May. That's kind of what was going on here for Paul. Things were so good and so grand when he had these visions and this experience, and then all of a sudden, bam, things come crashing down. And he says, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. What's your thorn? How are you damaged? Maybe it's abuse from parents. Maybe it's struggles with kids. Maybe you struggle with pornography, or maybe you struggle with alcohol or drugs. Maybe you find yourself unable to keep a relationship. Each of us has a thorn in our flesh, multiple thorns at times. Paul had one. We don't know what it was, but he prays three times, "Dear Lord, take this from me, remove it." Each time, God seems to be silent. Why do bad things happen to good people? I'm willing to bet that you all would be willing to raise your hands if I asked you if you are good. You would raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm 51% good, 49% bad, but I'm good enough. And I look at you and I say, yeah, you are really good people. But you know as well as I, we all have a problem. It's that thing that infects every ounce of flesh on this earth. It is that tiny little word, sin. It's the stuff that creeps into your mind in your dreams. It's the stuff that creeps into your mind while you're watching a movie or watching TV or you're online. Sin is that stuff that overwhelms you and overcomes you, and it allows for you to do things that are against God's will. Pastor Miller put it in such good terms. He said, Satan is the one who tempts you and says, yeah, do it, do it, do it. And then after you do it, what does he do? He points his finger at you and says, you did it. You're an awful, damned sinner. Your conscience strikes. And you say, oh no, I did it again. What is your thorn? What is that thing that is bugging you or bothering you? That sin that you can't stop doing, that it keeps overcoming you, overwhelming you. Satan's temptations come and they strike stealthily. And so also does the finger of guilt back at you. St. Paul prayed 3 times, take this thorn from me, O God. And God didn't seem to care. He didn't seem to listen. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why was Paul suffering? He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do. Through all trials and tribulations, we hear all of his troubles, his struggles in his ministry. Hear these things. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all of the churches. You and I would look at Paul, and we would look to God, and we would say, this man's been nothing but faithful. Why are you treating him this way? Why are you inflicting him with this thorn in the flesh? 3 times he prayed to you and you haven't gotten rid of it. Where are you, God? But we would be the only ones asking that question. Paul never complains, because he has a confidence inside of him, a boastfulness inside of him. He knows what is to come. He knows eternity. He knows the hope that I get to see every Sunday morning as I look at you. And you get to see the hope that is before you. Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith. The one who, for all joy that was set before him, laid down his life and gave his all for you. You know, the question we should be asking instead of why do bad things happen to good people is why do good things happen to bad people? Remember a young man who came up to Jesus? He ran up to Jesus and he said, oh, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? Jesus stopped him in his tracks and he said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Why do good things happen to bad people, of which I'm at least one? But yet I can count endlessly the blessings that I've been given. Showered down upon me, rained down upon me every single day of my life. God indeed is gracious. Martha Jane Vogelsmeyer, she's here today. We're honored with your presence, Martha Jane. 97 years old, our oldest member of our congregation, and she came from Concordia to be here in God's house here at Emmanuel, and we rejoice. But something Martha Jane always tells me every time I visit with her, she says, You got to count your blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And yet I'm not a good person, I'm a bad person. God demonstrates his own love for me in this, that while I was still a sinner, Christ Jesus dies for me. Lord, take that thorn of flesh from me. Three times the Lord says no. And then he says, in the most loving and endearing way, not only for Paul, but for you, those of you struggling with these thorns, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Whether it's your mind, your body, your heart, your soul, whether those are weak, whatever you struggle with, know this, God is bigger than those things. And the death Christ suffered on the cross for you is enough to cover over all those things. When I am weak, then I am strong. My grace is sufficient for you. It covers over all your foibles. It covers over all your wretchedness, all your sin. All those times you gave in to temptations when you knew you shouldn't have. Satan takes his bony finger and he points at you and he points at me and he says, aha, you're guilty. But Jesus says, no. He says, I'm guilty. I take your sin fully and completely. I make it my possession, and there it is on the cross, and there it remains. And he says to Satan, go to hell. And he says to you, dear brothers and sisters, I'm coming back for you. If I go, I will come back for you to take you with me to where I am. And that's a promise you and I can take to the bank. That is your confidence. So that when somebody asks you, what is the hope that you have that resides in you? Why do you continue to go to church? Why do you pray to a God who doesn't seem to answer? Why? You don't have to fumble with words like and ah. But instead, you can say, I have a God who loves me and loves you. And I have a God who doesn't just say it, but he shows it. At the cross of Calvary, his grace is always sufficient for me and always sufficient for you. May the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, may it guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Continue in our service then with our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. We also fill out those red friendship registers that are in our pews. And we join in singing hymn number 789, Praise and Thanksgiving, as we get ready for our prayers.
And thanksgiving, Father, we offer for all things living, created good, harvest of sown fields, fruits of the orchard, hay from the mown fields, blossom and bless, Lord, the labor we bring to serve you, that with our neighbor we may be fed. Sowing or tilling, we would work with
Would include Edna Monken in our prayers for this morning. She's a faithful listener to our radio broadcast, wife to Clifford Monken, who also listened quite faithfully. He's with the Lord now, but she had suffered a heart attack. I believe it was 2 weeks ago. Mary, is that right? I think that's right. Not Shirley would know that. I'm sorry. Was it a couple weeks ago? Was it last week? Yeah. But I think you said that she's back at the nursing home, too. So I didn't see her on Thursday, but we would lift her up to the Lord in our prayers as well. But she seems to have recovered, and just pray for strength for her as well. Lindsay Scott also had surgery on Friday as well. And Jill, do you know how that went? I hadn't had a chance to check with her. Okay, that's right. Yeah, very good. Good. Okay, praise God for that, too. All right, with those things in mind, we'll turn to our Lord in prayer. All blessing, thanks, and praise to thee, Lord Jesus Christ, be given. Thou hast my brother deigned to be, thou Lord of earth and heaven. Help me throughout this day of grace to praise thy love and seek thy face, and when I stand before thee forever, to adore thee. And O Father in heaven, you knowest all my griefs and fears. Your grace abused my misspent years. Yet now to thee with contrite tears, Christ crucified, I come. Wash me and take away each stain, let nothing of my sin remain. For cleansing though it be through pain, Christ crucified, I come. And rejoice, O pilgrim throng, rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, rejoice, give thanks and sing. O Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you that your grace is indeed sufficient enough for every single one of us. That we are indeed weak creatures. That there is no good of our own that resides within us. But instead, by that same grace, that same mercy, you poured out onto each and every one of us the righteousness of Christ. For we are adorned in his robes as we are washed and made holy in the waters of baptism. As you continue to sanctify us and call us and claim us through your word and invite us to your table to receive that special meal of Christ's body and blood in that bread and wine given and shed for us, that our sins may be removed from us as far as the east is from the west. O Lord, then continue to strengthen us. Help us to bear up under the thorns that infect our flesh. Save us, rescue us, strengthen us in our faith, that by your will, O Lord, we may be called home to everlasting life in Christ. Heavenly Father, we come before you then also this day, lifting up to you a variety of individuals, various cares and concerns. We pray, O Lord, for Pat and for Lindsay and for Carol. We thank you, Lord, for successful surgery for Lindsay and pray that you would continue to be and abide with her. Bless her in her marriage as well, as she was united several weeks back. Thank and praise you, O Lord, for her, and pray your continued blessings upon her as well. Be with Jesse and Cindy, with Dustin and Jamie, with Devin and Becky and Lindy and Mike. Continue to be and abide with Elena. We thank and praise you for recovery that she's had, Darlene Dotson's little granddaughter. Lord, continue to be with little Boston, with Haley and Roger, with Alexis and Eugene, Stan and Dana, Amy and David, Carol and Tim and Jim, Judy and Lane, with Junior and Carl and Keith and Jimmy. Be with my Uncle Steve as well, as he is struggling in health issues. Continue to strengthen him, I pray, especially in faith in you. Be with Doug and Larry, with Stephen and Vicky, Cindy and Kyle, Charlotte and Debbie, Austin and Darren, with Krista and Russell and Betty. We pray your special hand of strength and comfort to be upon Edna, that you would restore her in health, O Lord, and we thank you for preserving her life, but especially that you would continue to strengthen her in her faith and her hope in life everlasting in Christ. Bring healing to her body, we pray. Be with Sylvia and Millie, with Lawanda. We thank and praise you for allowing for Martha Jane to be here today. We thank you for her and the gift that she has been to her family and to this community and to our congregation. Pray, O Lord, that you would continue to be and watch over, be with her and watch over her as well. Be with Dorothy and Leland and Mickey. We lift up to you President Harrison as well as President Hagen, that you would be and abide with each of these and all the presidents of our various districts in our church body. Continue to strengthen them and their families as they lead us forward. Grant them peace and strength at last, we pray. Gracious Father, then, that you would be with the Cuddis family. They're no longer in Madagascar, but bless them as they continue to serve your church. Be with the Lang family and the Kolb family and all those who work in and throughout this world to bring the good news of Christ Jesus to a variety of people groups, that they may hear and know that grace is not only for them, but also for those they serve. And Lord, then, that you'd also be with the men and women of our armed forces. Be with Caleb and Rodney. Be with them and their families. Watch over them and keep them safe, if it be your will. Gracious Father, then, that you would also bless us as we approach our vacation Bible school, that indeed you may make those fields white and ready for the harvest, that we may seek opportunity to reach out and invite these children, the children of our community, to partake of this celebration of holidays, holy days, in which you act and work and move and breathe to be our God as we struggle many times to be your people. Heavenly Father, then, all these things we bring before your throne this day, thanking and praising you for bringing us to your house this morning. And we conclude then our prayers as we pray that most perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor, and may he grant each of you his peace now and always. Amen. You may be seated. We'll sing our final hymn, hymn number 717.